When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Scene 1, exterior, Omi Island, daytime.
Jesus, great. Full stop. It's just great. Like some old man dying one day, you know, when they asked him, what was it like to raise all those children and everything you'd gone through? He says, it was just like going to sleep at night time and having a dream. It's like I dreamt it all.
A man in his late 60s stands outside his mobile home. It looks like the edge of the world.
There used to be my old mobile home there. I was only out for the week when it blew away. It ended up about 3 fields away.
This is Pascal Whelan, the only full-time resident of Omi Island, a tidal island off the coast of Connemara.
Before I had my little bits of troubles, I used to have all the back there in garden. Maybe at least half of that in garden. It went well for quite a number of years.
As we walk through his overgrown garden amid the clutter and weeds, we find a bed of nails.
But that's it, you can feel the nails now for yourself and see how sharp they are. But it didn't look exactly like that when I was using it.
The bed of nails is badly rusted.
I've had that for 25, 30 years. It takes quite a lot of making. And you just hammer away for a couple of days and there's your bed of nails. It's hardly going to get used again anyway. Not by me anyhow, I know.
Pascal opens the door of his mobile home. There are tomatoes and spring onions growing in the window.
As you can see, it's... Well, for one or two people, it's ideal, you know. I find more discomfort in it. The 12-volt system is my lighting. Also my DVD and my radio. And I also use a kerosene light for reading. Now, the water, I'll bring it down to the well now and show you where I get the water from. And I've got my cigarette lighter out of a car here. And that light works off the cigarette lighter. These lights, they're not working, but I don't know why. But they're all around, and they're from the roofs of cars. So I've got a loose wire there somewhere, but I'm not panicking about that. I don't really need it. My DVD charges up my DVD. I've lost my mobile phone charger, but it charges up my mobile phone as well. I'm quite happy with it. I'd like the running water, though. That's one thing I do miss. Oh, there's my glass. Such a small place, and you put something down, you can't find it. Amazing.
Pascal takes out a DVD player with a small 8-inch built-in screen.
The speakers are very bad on this.
He presses play on the player.
Now then, in that good professional competent production of which you speak so vociferously, you had a man helping you called Pat Whelan, who was the guy who helped organise your sword fight. Now, the sword fight.
It is a recording of Peter O'Toole on the Russell Harty chat show on the BBC.
Now, the sword fights, I haven't seen this, but are in fact quite heavy and clangorous is the word.
It's a very good one.
The 8-times Oscar-nominated O'Toole is in his prime. His legs are crossed, and he's smoking a cigarette.
And we'll say hello now to Pat Whelan, who helped to choreograph your sword fights. Pat Whelan.
Then the man we met moments ago, Pascal, as a young man, appears on the screen, carrying a sword.
You brought one for me, Pat.
I did.
Now, in the 11th century, people wouldn't be taking these things out of sheaths and being elegant with them, would they?
I don't think so, Russell, but one thing I do know, that they certainly knew how to use them, or they wouldn't be alive.
By the way, none of this is rehearsed. This is the first time I've ever met Russell Harty 3 or 4 minutes ago when this started. There was no rehearsal of any description. I didn't know what questions he was going to ask me. And nothing.
I'll do the demonstration.
I didn't know the form or anything. And then you're going in front of I think it's about 10 million viewers without a bit of rehearsals or anything. Ah, now here he is. No.
And we sit there in the mobile home on Omi Island, watching Pascal Whelan sword fighting with Peter O'Toole.
Well, we are going at it hammer and tongs. So we had no start, no finish, no nothing.
About the scenery.
In the west, an island sweet and surely blessed, where Fain in days of yore he built his church upon the shore.
Scene 2, exterior western shore, daytime.
That's Shark Island. I forget when it was moved off in the 30s, I think, after a tragedy there.
Pascal stands on the edge of the island. Waves crash against the shore. All that we can see is the Atlantic Ocean and a few neighbouring islands.
Closer in here, we've got Fry Island, which is actually 3 islands. And then outside that is High. That's where there's a monastery and beehive huts still on that island. Now, then we have here, straight ahead of us, we've got Crow, C-R-O-U-G-H. And beyond that, we got America. Of course, the closest place to us, the other side, is actually Newfoundland, not America. And strange things, which didn't I get a message in a bottle 10 years ago from a 6-year-old girl from Newfoundland. Then I wrote to her, sent her all the details, the maps and everything over to her. And she wrote back and she says, "I'm only 6 years old, my mammy's writing this." Thrown in just an ordinary plastic bottle, but it only took 9 months, which is an incredible journey, you know. So I had to go down to Boston first, round about to Boston, and then had to cross over 300 miles or something to hit the Gulf Stream, you know. So, and then off she came.
When Pascal was born in 1942, there was over 70 living on the island. Now there is only him,
Paul, or Powell. That's my mother's name. You know, it goes back about 200 years, but I think they got shipwrecked. They were from Wales, and they were on the way to America, and they got shipwrecked.
In a series of flashbacks, we see a young Pascal on Omi Island.
I was the youngest out of 4 of us. We was definitely the smallest with 4.
His grandfather teaching him to horse ride on the strand, catching crabs in the rock pools, racing donkeys.
The country was backward that time, but we were way, way, way behind anybody else even here. Everything to us here was so natural that we didn't know anything different. This was it. This is how people lived. This was our world. The tides, we just took it for granted. It's a complete island when it's the tide is in, or 2 hours before the tide comes in, and it's connected to the mainland when 2.5 hours after the tide goes out. But you have to plan your day around the tide. You know, I don't have many days to plan now, thank God. But that's you just work around the tide. And I know when I can get out. I know when I can come home. But the tide, I just class as natural as somebody waiting for a bus that could be late. I know my tide isn't going to be late.
And Pascal Whelan lives on Omi. That's where he's at home. That's where he is the happiest, living on his own. And when the tide turns and the sea goes out at last, that's when the world comes to visit and helps to fill his glass.
Scene 3, exterior beach, morning.
I'd say on average there'd be about 4 or 5 cars lost on this beach every year. My personal best, I lost 2 in 1 week. The sand went soft with the storm. Misjudged the tide, which for me to do that is just stupidity. And there's one very memorable one. It was a Ford. I parked it. Well, it didn't make it. It was the water that cut that out. And I just left it in the beach overnight. Everybody watching from Sweeney's, having a good laugh as usual. So next morning I came down anyway. I said, well, let me take a look, see where did the water go? Did it get into the oil or what? And there wasn't a drop around it. So people were still watching the Sweeney's. You know, next day, next 3 different people. And a tractor came along. I said, look, I think this will start. Give me a tow. So after being in the tide for two tides, it went. But what happened was the Ford is so light an engine that the wheels, the front wheels, actually floated. The first thing you come across is the graveyard. Most of the graves are overlooking the beach. The ones on the other side, including my mother's one, are overlooking the sea, the other side. And they're just looking out at the mainland, and like, it's a very close-knit community. Well, I'm close-knit because I'm the only one here. But I mean, the mainland is it's a lovely community and extremely close-knit. And the funerals are, God love them, but there's something to see. It's a mile from the church to this side of the island. And sometimes the cars are already this side and other cars haven't left the church yet. That's how big the funerals are. But the tide is well open when the funeral's finished.
He stands at dawn upon the shore and sees the sunrise from his door. The first light falling on the sea, that's how content man can be.
Scene 4, exterior Blessed Well.
That is the well itself. I don't know if there's any water in it. No, I don't think so.
We are on the other side of the island now. The Atlantic dominates the background. Pascal stands over an ancient well on the rock edge.
Now, everybody leaves little gifts here. You see little notes of saying, Fane, please cure me, and things like that on it. Like every time you come, there's something different. They look like human bones. I'll show you where they could have come from now, later on. But every time I touch them, I come to the well to cleanse myself.
As Pascal moves from location to location on the island, told through a series of flashbacks working as a counter-narrative, he recounts his life and career as a stuntman away from the island.
As far as everybody's concerned.
Starting now with Australia, it's 1962, and Pascal, age 20, has just arrived.
I was just here to sheer chance, like. I was in Melbourne, and a friend of mine, he used to go to this wrestling, and he asked me to come along, and I went along, and it was great fun. I liked it, and just carried on going from there. It's very strenuous, and any fall needed in any form of life, you're taught there, you know. It's not judo or anything like that. It's a completely different way of falling. And you can take full body impact without hurting yourself. You know, what do you see yourself? You see the professional wrestling. You know, a guy can be, but somebody's thrown over the head or any darn thing, and they hit the ground, and There's not a bother on them. We got a few small bouts in and all the rest of it. It's just something to pass the time away. One thing where I did make a bit of money on it was in the boxing tents. And myself and my mate, we used to wrestle each other every time. We'd have about 20 fights a day or something, but you had to be fit for that, you know. And that's in the big showrooms. It was a very famous boxing tent that used to go around. It used to pull people out of the audience, but they hardly ever did pull them out of the audience. They had their own people in the audience. And it worked a dream, you know. Where it came in handy was that it's changed everything. Like I said, wrestling not really interesting. It was just a bit of crack, a bit of fun, that's all. But I was at acting school then for Crawford Productions. They wanted somebody to fall off a building. Now, one of the things we used to do on the wrestling was that my mate would be up there on the podium, and I'd challenge him. And we used to have cardboard boxes underneath it, and I'd go past him and push him off the podium. So, and he'd come up raving mad, and you know. So we knew the basis of the fall, and I studied up a bit of the library. And it was only a 30-footer, but it seemed a million miles high to me at the time. I'd done it, and somebody just happened to be watching the action and asked me whether I'd like to go to Hong Kong with him.
But Rexy's faithful dog at hand, he sets his boat out from the land and casts his nets and sets his pots in those familiar, your favourite spots. And Pascal Whalen lives on Omi, that's where he's at home. That's where he is the happiest, living on his own. And when the tide turns and the sea goes out at last, that's when the world comes visit and helps to fill his glass.
Scene 5, exterior ancient church.
It is slowly falling to pieces.
The ancient church is barely visible.
Still there.
Hidden in a hollow.
This is the entrance now. There's some beautiful stones. The window there, again, the Druid influence, is solstice. And you can see at the top there, which it must be a massive structure going in. If we go to the top of the hill there now, there's another interesting thing at the top. I loved Hong Kong. It was an unbelievable place. It was Wang Mong Shaw Studios. It wasn't on the island. It was on the Kowloon side. It was just like clockwork, you know. So you might be on 3-4 different movies in any one day. You always play the big bad white guy, you know. The white guy was always the villain in those movies, the devious white guy. And every movie had this format. But it was mostly devious. Then you'd get yourself killed in the end and be fight scenes and stuff like that. You know, so, 99%, you might get thrown off a damn roof and you might not. You know, it was wide open. You wouldn't know what you was doing then any one day when you walked onto the set. I think about 6-7 months there and came back to Australia, and then life started getting interesting.
And far has he travelled through this world and seen the light and flags unfurled, and yet he chose to live his life on Omi Island, far from strife.
Scene 6, exterior ancient mass grave. The shot opens on a human bone sticking out of the ground. This is the ancient graveyard. There are no headstones.
Well, here's the graveyard now. Or what's left of the graveyard. This is centuries old, I know, and if not 1,000 years old. So, it's never been used in living memory of anybody around here, or maybe their grandfather's living memory. But again, we always knew it was there. Nearly every time I passed here, I'd be burying bones at the bottom there. We started a show in stunt school in Melbourne, very successful, money poured in. One in Adelaide, again, extremely successful, and stopped putting shows together. It was a bit crummy, but we did nicely out of them. But we improved and improved and improved, like you do. We take a scene out in the movie and reenact it. We was going on the road. We must have made a fair bit of money because we paid for the whole team to come over. Well, we're doing one of the big racing tracks there. There's Formula One racing on. And one of our partners had to jump off a big tower. Now, myself and Noel Oliver was the guy with the name. We was in the commentary box. And we looked up. And there was a cop car pulling up beside where your man was climbing. I said, what's this? He said, oh, Christ, he owns a fine. I said, oh, Jesus. Oh, Christ, we're ruined. I said, no, we're not. He grabbed the mic off the commentator. Ladies and gentlemen, we were told by the police today that we could not jump. We promise we'll jump, so we'll jump. So off and he went up the tower, right? The cop followed him halfway up and then froze, to great delight of the crowd. And he jumps off the building. The other cops just down below there, they arrest him. Now this is incredible because he literally skipped bail on a fine. It wasn't just a fine. If it was just a fine, we'd been able to pay it. I think he hadn't turned up on court or something when we went to New Zealand. Now, theoretically, you can't get bail if that's the case, you know? And anyway, we was talking to the guy in it. Oh, so I'll give you a name of good solicitors. And so we went to see them. They were good, all right. They had Arnie out that within 2 hours. And just as we was leaving the office, my partner turned around and said, hey, you don't know anybody who wants to invest in the show, do you? Oh, we might. What is it? How much roughly do you want? Oh, I think that can be arranged. We'll see what we can do. And the rest was history. You had 6, 4, 5, 6, 7 brand new cars, trucks, motorbikes, television advertising. So then for the next 3.5 years, we just toured Australia and New Zealand and filled arenas full of people. It was an extremely successful show. We recreated scenes from movies. I've seen more Australia than most Australians would see. Staying in top class hotels all the way. It was so physically demanded, you could only do 3 shows a week. I know that when we bought the people who backed us out, in 2 shows, I bought a house in New Zealand, in a prime area. That's just 2 shows. You know, it was extremely successful. And what we used to do, television as promotional work. And that's when I worked with Paul Hogan, Crocodile Dundee. He was on the Mike Walsh show then. And we did a study. I actually had to double for him. And like I was earning a lot more money than Paul was at that stage of the game. You know, one of the places we played, you've seen the rugby match from Brisbane. We filled that. You know, it was pop star starters. It was extremely, extremely successful. Here's a bit of a scrapbook. There's a lot more there, but This is the best. Okay. Kicking a man out of a car. It's a pity you can't see the wheels there, but that car is going, and it's going out to Clappers. It's quite simple. Towing a man behind a car. Full speed. And two big Maoris, the back, shooting at him. The fight scenes, we just do the fight scenes in the middle of the arenas. There's me just pulling a raffle for a little girl. That's pert, it didn't mean to happen. Car going along, runs somebody over, and he goes straight through the windscreen and lands on my lap. When I used to have my own aeroplane, well, the use of my own aeroplane. That was in New Zealand. That's London. I was great with the Jelly Knight. That's one of my acts where a guy gets blown off a bike. Oh. My ex. It's beautiful to walk on. Yeah. There's the look of the faces of my audience. Nearly everyone is laughing. Some are holding their mouths, and some are. Wow, I think that's the best description I can give you. Most of them there is wow, you know, but they're obviously enjoying themselves.
And as he torched through waking hours, he thinks of all those other times when he walked with movie stars and drove to highways in fancy cars.
Scene 7, exterior, natural spring.
Where the hell it comes from, I don't know. It's way back there. Like, most of this isn't surface at all. It's just come to the surface here, but it starts way, way, way back. It's beautiful water. People actually come to the mainland and get a jar of water from here. You know, they're walking. If they're coming into Omi for a walk or anything like that, they always bring a container with them. You know, a lot of people. Then my second marriage split up. I'd already split up with one. The second marriage split up, so I just sold up in New Zealand and came home. The crack in Clifton was unbelievable then. One of the best places I've ever been in the world, quite honest with you. So I kicked off in the stunt school anyway again. I was breaking new ground. I was virtually unknown here. And my one big break here was getting on the Late Late Show.
This is the mind over matter bit.
I don't mind.
He doesn't matter. Right.
Whoa. Whoa. Very well done.
Then I got Strumpet City, which I classed as the best production I've ever done in my life. It just kicked down there when I was doing stacks and stacks of live shows. And
Pat Whelan and his team, especially to come to Galway here tonight. And here they are now in the middle of the stage. There's about 15 of them all involved. Now here's the first lady in a beautiful right to the chin. And more ladies. Oh, I wouldn't like to meet them in a dark alley, I tell you. Oh, if you tried anything with them, see what happened, lads. It's a pity, girlies, there's more of you around. And don't try this, of course, you know, you don't. Oh! Don't try this at home. They're all trained, they're well trained, they know exactly what they're doing. No better man to train them than Pat Whelan.
A nice, steady flow. Not a great living now, but a nice one. Then the SB being a he, which was a weekly slot. And, like I say, doing theatre now and live shows and all the rest of it. And was doing a show down in Waterford. It's a tragedy there. The only person I've ever lost of my stunt school, very good friend of mine, he died in a stunt in Waterford. And that virtually finished my career. It virtually finished it. John Condren. You know, lived in Palmerstown. And, brilliant man. He had a fantastic career in front of him. I still, to this day, don't know. I think I know what happened. Now, this guy was no novice. He was extremely trained, experienced. And the only thing I could think of there was an entrance, four entrances going into the kind of courtyard from the castle. And I reckon there was a whirlwind down low because it was perfectly on target all the way down. And he just the last few feet, and he missed the landing pad. And he saw how tough he was. He fell for nearly over 80 feet. And he still was alive, like he died in my arms. And there'd be a few thousands anyway. It was for a festival. It wasn't a live show. It was for a big festival that was there. It wasn't actually in Waterford. There was a little village outside, and I can't even remember the name of the village now. So, that's you could say was really the end of my career. You know, my heart wasn't in it, and it shows. Even though you go through the action, it actually does show.
Scene 8. Exterior, Omi Strand. Daytime.
Corner at the start now, there's a red car as well in a box, and once those are off out of the way, we'll try and get the first race off.
The desolate strand that we met Pascal on earlier is now crowded with people.
No more entries now to the far side of the track.
Today is the day of the Omi races.
Would the owner of that blue van at the far side of the track move it back further, please? Move it back further.
For one day in the year, hundreds visit Omi to watch horse racing on the Strand.
Somebody get that blue wagon moved further back from the racing area.
The sun is shining. Pascal walks amid the crowd. Apart from the announcer, everyone is enjoying themselves.
You see a bit of chaos already.
Those children in that wagon at the far side, will they get it back off the track? And those children under supervision?
I can't be normal. I don't get cancer once, I get it twice. So I got the kidney removed. I was in for something else. And they found a tumour on the kidney, so they took that out 2 years ago. Still not quite over that yet. And I've just gone through radiation treatment for another cancer.
Once that blue wagon
is
moved away from where it is currently, try and get this first race off.
Like, I lost my boat because I couldn't. It was a bad storm, and there's only way to get to it was swim. There was nobody else on the island. I couldn't swim out to it and things like that. And it's very much has affected it. No, but please God, it's beaten now, and you know, and my energy will start coming back, and it is improving. It's greatly improving.
Jacob Ellen walked into the country for the last time. With little Jenny running on, gave me in third place. That's the order of the nation. And out into the country for the last time. Jim's girl goes along as the slight and Saudi at the bend, but Jim's girl lost.
No matter which way you went, it was one hell of an experience. So I cherished a lot. It's like including hard times. And that's part of life. You usually come out stronger from it.
Get that van off the track. Get that van off of the track at the far side. Move that van off the track as the runners make their way to the far side. Take her handy. Get that van off the track at the far side. As they go on into the country at the far side, there's a van on the track. When they get it off the track.
Like some old man dying one day, you know, when they asked him, what was it like to raise all those children and everything you've gone through. He says, look, he says, it was just like going to sleep of a night time and having a dream. It's like I dreamt it all. That's always a very, very good explanation.
Inside the distance, he leaves on Jim Kell, does it in Tom Jones inside. The three miles of the Jim Kell and Richie Boyd are second place. Joe Kell and Colin Keane and Ben Baxter, next for Jen Lee and Joe Doyle. That's the 1-2-3 and well done to everybody. And to the committee here this afternoon, it was a fantastic performance. Well done all around. We look forward to seeing you all. Thank you next weekend. Good tell us from their week.
Now summer days have come and gone, and winter's nights can sure be long, with mighty storms and roaring seas, and yet he lives there at his ease. But no man is an island, that's what people say. Still Pascal lives on Omi, and he will for the rest of his days. And Pascal Whelan lives on Omi, that's where he's at home, that's where he is the happiest, living on his own. And when the tide turns and the sea goes out at last, that's when the world comes visit and helps to fill his glass.
We say goodbye to Pascal. As he leaves, we meet a young man walking a horse.
Here you are. You're a lovely fucking beast. You are. Come here. Yeah.
Oh, it has just raced.
You are. You're gorgeous. You are. He's a bit wild, all right, isn't he?
Yeah, leave it fresh.
No, you're fantastic.
The horse is wild and won't settle. It's young. It needs to keep moving.
Just after running there, son.
Yeah. Oh, good boy.
He's just racing.
A bit more hyper.
Yeah, he's a bit hyper, right? Just likes to keep walking.
If you enjoyed this documentary, you might like to listen to our other Documentary on One productions. Visit rte.ie/docon1.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.